You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
I made you look.
Yeah. If you were counting, that's 42 seconds of goal from our friends over at Telemundo as they were watching the impossible soccer match earlier today.
Passion. I got to give it to the guy. He kept fighting. That was seven. He could not get the long goal out.
Stop.
He reset seven
screaming
times.
Screaming goal. And that's just when they tied it. I think that will go down as one of the most exciting, unlikely finishes in the history of the World Cup.
Rumor has it he's still yelling goal.
I think, you know, it's been about 4 hours, and I agree.
Not really yelling, more like gasping.
Yeah. I mean, someone get that man a drink of water.
Can we get a lozenge?
Yeah.
Really?
Maybe a little tea.
Excited about that goal. And so half of the field is set or all of the field. I'm going to be honest, the TV just crapped out in here 30 minutes ago, so I have not been able to watch Switzerland, Colombia. But
we know that Argentina will be returning to Kansas City to take on either Switzerland or Colombia on Saturday night. As for the Switzerland-Colombia game, it's 0-0.
Okay.
We're in the second half.
Thank you. Good to know, because I can't pull it up in here.
Yeah, it's been a back and forther.
And most people,
this is the last match before the entire quarterfinal field is set.
Most people have said, Dan, they want to see Colombia versus Argentina in Kansas City.
Oh, yeah.
Would be one hell of a match.
Yeah, definitely.
And both fan bases travel incredibly well. We were cracking jokes in the newsroom before that Argentina win. And, you know, talking about the economic impact to the city, if Argentina loses, if Colombia loses, those fan bases don't travel as well.
Right.
But if we get Colombia, Argentina on Saturday, we're already getting Argentina. It is going to be insane.
Fire! Mm-hmm. Update to a story that we've been following for several days here on the Dana and Parks program. If you missed it, we have been trying to help our friends at the Shawnee Antique Mall, the 75th and Antioch Little Antique Mall there.
Yeah.
We've been trying to help them identify a serial thief.
Third year in a row, a woman
who for 3 years in a row has gone up to this antique mall and ripped out and ripped off their beautiful floral displays out front. And I mean, like the big boxes of floral art that you get at any really good farmer's market.
Jax the flower guy joined us last hour.
She took the American flags and they got surveillance, Dan.
Oh, really?
Specifically toward the flower boxes, because for the last 2 years, this has happened. Same woman. And then she came back like three nights ago. It is the craziest thing. She's got to be 60 years old.
A thief in the night.
She's like older adult woman who has made some bad choices in her life. She's got a car, a red car. And during our discussion with the flower guy over this, because he's very upset, he said, it's too late to replant the flowers. We don't know what we're going
to
do.
They tried to replant last year, but it was too hot outside. Everything they replanted died.
We get a hotline call, and it's Shawnee Antique Mall, and they're like, she's been arrested.
Oh.
Now, I'm not saying the Dana and Parks program had anything to do with that. I'm saying, as someone who is extremely curious when an more mature woman does something insane like this.
Bonnie
Gooch.
That we, like a Bonnie Gooch, we just want to know who she is.
The only information that we have, thanks to the report that we got from the antique mall, is that she has been arrested and that she is out of state. That could mean Missouri.
Okay.
She's just not in state. She's out of state.
Quite the ne'er-do-well.
Yeah.
I don't get it, but here
maybe
we are.
Maybe we can point her to a number of shops around town where she can go purchase flowers.
I mean, she might.
Rather than
be
steal
able
them
to, or
the antique
we should
mall.
Make them plant. We should make her. This is a public shaming thing. We got to out who she is. What the heck's going on with you, woman? And then make her replant those flowers for the antique mall.
So these were real flowers?
Yes, Dan.
Ripped them straight out of the dirt.
Just ripped them straight out from the root.
Textline had a great point, and I kind of love it. You know how convenience stores, they have people that come in and they steal a lot, and we've seen the whole, we're going to print off a picture of them from our security camera.
Yes.
And plaster it all over our counter. They should get some fake flowers, you know, go down to Hobby Lobby, get some fake flowers, print off a bunch of like ID-sized photos of this woman from the surveillance camera and glue it to all of the flower petals. So you put fake flowers in the flower pot And instead of petals, you've got this lady's face.
And I would say you also warn all of the florists around town.
Oh, yeah.
Look out. This woman's got a flower fetish and she's headed your way.
I can't imagine she's only been targeting the one place.
It's so weird, Sam. It's so weird. People are like, you ever run out of anything to talk about? No. We're surrounded by crazy people. We do not run out of things to talk about.
It's ever blooming.
Then this story.
Sorry. Nice.
Shut it.
Nice.
I'll see myself out.
For anyone who has ever thought, how in the heck do all of these elderly people get swindled out of their money? We talk about the scams all the time. This is one that's going to make you scratch your head, but it has happened again, and she is very much not elderly. A former Fresno news anchor who used to read story after story about people getting swindled out of their money.
Oh, no.
Has been swindled out of more than $70,000. Oh. In a text message scam.
No, lady, what?
A veteran journalist who spent 22 years of her career anchoring the news has become the center of a scam story herself after she was swindled out of a whopping $72,000. Quoting here from Alex Delgado, "I feel dumb that I should have been smarter about it. I am in a very vulnerable place." Delgado received a dubious text message claiming to be from the stock trading app Robinhood back in March. She is a client of that app.
Oh, and don't think that those scammers did not have that information. Yep. They most certainly knew that she was a client of that app.
The message said her account had recorded some suspicious activity from overseas, and they asked her to call immediately this number to report the incident. She didn't think much of it, she said.
Oh, there was some suspicious activity from overseas.
She was preparing for her trip. She said she made a call to the number mentioned, which turned out to be the single biggest financial mistake of her life. They said, not a problem. Let me transfer you to our fraud department. So she says it was very legit. It sounded legit.
These guys are professionals.
The fake representative on the call told her that her investment account was at risk as someone sitting in Asia using an Android phone was trying to gain access. We need to move that money into a different account while we conduct our investigation, the fraudster told her. Over the next 2 days, Delgado said the scammer guided her step by step to move the money over the phone. I mean, it hook, line, and sinker, and quote, by the time she realized, thousands of dollars were wiped clean off of her account. Quote, it was too late. Quoting here from Delgado, if it can happen to me, and I'm familiar with these stories, I covered it for the news, I heard about it all the time. It can happen to anyone.
I don't know. I'm a little cynical about that.
She has tried to contact the legitimate Robinhood app.
Me too, Dan.
Through their people. There is nothing Robinhood could do.
From the text line, I literally got this text message yesterday.
There it is.
I just started using Robinhood. I wondered if it was real because it didn't make sense. Thank you so much for sharing the story.
You are welcome. She's reported this fraud to multiple institutions, by the way, and every single one of them. Tell her the same thing. You are never going to see that money again. You're never going to see it again.
Just know that if you get a text message randomly, it's probably a scam.
Yeah.
If they say, hi, you've won $4 billion.
The fraud department.
Just give me your social security number. It's probably a scam. I've shared the story many times. Be the overly cautious individual.
Yeah.
I got a call one time from a random phone number. My caller ID said Bank of America. I was banking with Bank of America.
It looks legit,
at
man.
The time. I answered the phone call and he said, hi, my name's Mike. I'm with the Bank of America Fraud Prevention Department.
Hi, Mike.
And your card has been used for suspicious activity. And I didn't look at him. I was on the phone. I said to Mike, sorry, dude, I don't trust you that you are who you say you are. So before I answer any questions or give you any personal information, I'm going to hang up with you and I'm going to call the financial fraud department myself. So I did that. I hung up. I looked up the number for the fraud department. I called Bank of America Fraud.
It was Mike.
A nice man answered the phone and said, hello, this is Mike. And I said, hello, Mike.
Sorry, it's me again. Remember
I now believe that you're real.
Remember me now.
Well,
please
that's
fix
the
my
thing.
Problem.
You know, due diligence for yourself. I mean, you have to.
But for our listener, Dan, who just signed up for the Robinhood app, I can see getting a text. Hey, this is let me give you an example. The other day, what was it? We had a company come out to our home for a home improvement type of thing. And I get a text the next day that said, hey, just checking on how the service went. You know, I didn't recognize the number. I assume it was the company. I just said, great, thanks. I wouldn't hand over my bank account information. But from time to time, when you're doing business with someone new and something comes into your phone, we do assume, like our caller that had just signed up for Robinhood, that this is legitimate. I just signed up. They're probably saying already there's an issue. I'm going to call them.
Oh, my friends make fun of me because they'll send me a link over text or over Facebook Messenger or over Instagram. And I'll see them, you know, like whatever, the next week we'll be out doing something. And they'll be like, hey, did you watch that video I sent you? And I'm like, well, did you send me a link? Yeah. No, you know I don't click on links. How do I know that was you? You could have been hacked. It's happening all the time right now in Kansas City. Major news anchors are getting their social media accounts hacked, and they're sending out these links in private message. I'm not clicking on it.
Don't click on anything. Verify on your own.
The phone number. That's the only way to do it, Dan.
Textline doesn't believe it. Textline thinks this lady's making the story up.
No, no. Not if we just had a listener that got the same text. I'm telling you guys.
I mean, just because
she's filed a police report. Just because she's in the news doesn't mean it can't happen.
Well, because she's a news anchor doesn't mean she's with it.
I know. We have had former law enforcement officers fall for this. And it's not age. I'm telling you, I've got friends in banking who will tell you, you would not believe the number of highly educated people that get into this quandary and then call and go, oh my God, I think I've done something wrong.
Well, and then I feel bad for small businesses because we use the best darned auto mechanic in the world right here in Mission.
Yeah.
And after I get my truck back, I get a text. I know it's him because I have the number saved that says, hey, how was your service? Please leave us a review. And then there's a link to go leave a review. And I'm sorry, I'm not clicking the link.
This job has destroyed Sam. 913-586-7798. We're back with much more straight ahead on Dana and Parks. So I am so excited tonight. One of the movies I have been waiting to see and waiting to see and waiting to see is out on stream. Back Rooms.
Oh, hit stream.
I'm so excited about seeing that movie that I put it in my calendar that it streams on the 7th. The 7th is today.
The horror film that debuted alongside Obsession, correct?
Yes.
The same weekend, it was the two super low budget films that blew all the big box out of the water.
Pretty critically acclaimed. Like it got great reviews. And wasn't it from somebody like first time
23-year-old
YouTube type of guy that directed the film?
Yep.
I don't know what it's about. It looks scary as hell. It has something to do with this like massive office complex. Like think, what's the Separation show? Severance.
Oh my gosh.
Severance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sort of like Severance. And he goes into this room and you don't know where he is or why he's there. That's all. The trailer is very vague.
What's it streaming on?
I think you can buy it on Prime.
Oh, buy it. Oh man.
You're going to have to pay like $24, but you know, not the $100 you'd pay to take the whole family and popcorn and everything else.
Back Rooms, by the way, passes $350 million. It is still in theaters and a couple of theaters around town.
Yep. Word of mouth has been crazy on that thing.
Oh, this one had a budget of $10 million.
Streams tonight. That's still low. And then this from CBS News. AI, quote, actor Tilly Norwood is set to star in first feature film. And I take exception to the term actor because Tilly Norwood does not exist.
Nope.
AI generated thing Tilly Norwood is set to make her big screen debut, starring in a film called Misaligned from the studio that created the polarizing digital thespian in the first place. UK based Particle 6, which describes itself as an AI-first and AI-hybrid developer of movies, TV programming, announced this week that they have started developing a film in which, quote, Norwood, who is not a person, this is a thing, this is not a person, will, quote, take the lead. Particle 6 founder Eileen Vandervelden, herself a former actor, unveiled Norwood to the public in 2025. After her team at the studio developed some 2,000 iterations of the AI tool and gradually, quote, taught her to act.
Okay, what?
Can you describe her? Does she look a little like...
Let me pull her up.
Oh God, what's the actress I'm trying to think of?
Please don't ask me to compare her to other actresses.
She's no brunette. Idea. She's beautiful. My point is with this whole fake AI in a movie thing, I refuse to call her an actor. It's not. This is a thing. They used to teach the computer how to make a great actor. They had to use great actors to teach the thing how to do what it's doing.
Real actors and actresses, real movies, absolutely. She is your, quintessential beautiful brunette woman. The jawline, the perfectly symmetrical smile.
Looks
the
what,
eyes
20,
that are the perfect
28,
distance.
Maybe?
Probably mid, early 20s, I would say. Super thin, you know, all the other features that I don't necessarily need to read off.
Particle 6 describes the forthcoming film, which is set in what the studio calls a surreal digital world located somewhere in the cloud, as a coming-of-age story infused with existential AI chaos. Norwood plays an AI with no lived experience, but has access to other humans' childhoods and backstories. Yeah, this is the stuff nightmares are made out of.
Now, I don't think this will necessarily stick, because part of the reason that superstars rise to superstardom in the Hollywood landscape is because of their ability to adopt that very believable tone, attitude, whatever it is
but
that
Sam,
they're presenting in their character.
When you
and
listen,
we watch them because we're like, oh, we know that person's not actually that person, but they're doing such a good job portraying that person.
Like something I can't do, right?
Yeah.
But when we listen to the fake music, you don't know it's fake until someone tells you it's fake.
That's true.
This scares me. It really does. The studio says they want to prove that AI can support premium narrative filmmaking, but only with substantial amounts of human craft, skill, judgment, and time. That's not a limitation of the technology. That's the point, she said. Norwood sparked industry backlash, as you know, when this Tilly AI thing was introduced, with movie professionals protesting that the acting part should be reserved for human actors.
I know I'm the doomsday anti-AI guy. I get it. Which, by the way, AI, if you're listening in the future, I love you. But this is just them trying to get us more and more used to looking at these images. Because right now, all over social media, you can scroll through any number of videos. And if I had to guess, depending on your algorithm, probably 20 to 30% of those are completely AI. As it stands right now, because our human eye is trained to see real things and not fake things, it's pretty easy to pick out the things that make it not a real human. The way the mouth moves, the inflection of the eyebrows, things like that,
Sam,
are all computer generated.
No, I'm worried that this is going to look so real people won't care.
Well, it's not going to look so real that people won't care. It's going to be an application where people start to feel a little bit more comfortable with it. I know people who, when they first heard of the idea of AI music, completely hated the idea. They said that anybody who likes AI music has no right to a music opinion in any way, shape, or form. And then 2 weeks later, you play them a song, and they're like,
oh, that's
actually
pretty good.
A really good song. It's AI.
Last fall, SAG-AFTRA came forth in a statement that it does not consider this, quote, Tilly Norwood. I can't even believe she has a name. She shouldn't even have a name. She's not a person. She's a thing. But the statement said that they do not consider Norwood an actor, and that creativity is and should remain human-centered. It has no life experience to draw from, no emotion. And from what we have seen, audiences aren't interested in watching computer-generated content untethered from the human experience. All right. What do you say about Pixar then? I'm playing the devil's advocate, because some of my favorite movies of all time are animation. There are voice actors in animation, but what you're watching isn't real in animation.
We wouldn't have many of the greatest movies of all time without
Toy Story. My God.
CGI, computer editing. Avatar, Star Wars. Now, obviously, this is different because those had actors behind it.
It's a slippery slope, man, isn't it? What do you think? 913-586-7798. This thing needs a new name because it ain't her and it ain't Tilly. We'll take your call straight ahead on Dana and Parks.
We're talking about Tilly Norwood, the AI actor unveiled last year, now set to feature in her first feature film. Talking about animation, CGI, how have the film industry and the movie industry, the music industry transitioned over the years, implementing new technology, more technology into it. We had these conversations when we first discussed using AI for music regarding things like auto-tune, folks who get up on the stage and have tone correction in their soundboard, things like that. Are we taking one step further away from what we consider the reality of art, and will we accept it?
I'm glad you brought up Avatar. Avatar was a computer-generated hybrid of cinema.
Yeah.
Hybrid of cinema.
Another great example, CGI of Luke Skywalker in The Mandalorian.
Sure.
Paul Walker, who died during the filming of Fast and Furious 7. It is well known that they used his brother to finish out the scenes that Paul did not get to film, and they just CGI'd Paul's face onto the brother.
The woman who played the character of Tony Soprano's mother died halfway through one of the seasons of Sopranos, and they infamously tried to cobble together all those years ago something that sort of looked like she was still in some of the scenes. It was awful.
Yeah.
It looked terrible. The head didn't match the body. We're now to a point where they can make it look real.
And we talked about in the last couple of months, the new Val Kilmer movie, which ironically has to do with coming back from the dead.
Yes.
Where Val Kilmer
gave it his blessing.
Will not be featured, but will be featured.
I don't like it. Let's go to CJ in North Kansas City. Welcome to Dana and Parks.
Guys. Hey, Avatar is actually really interesting too, because James Cameron started creating that movie after Titanic came out.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that's a really cool fact about that. Anyway, I was telling Sam about Tilly Norwood, right? We don't know anything about Tilly Norwood, and nor should we as an actor. But I think as a character, right, Tilly Norwood as a character would make more sense. Now, in the credits, if it said something along the lines of Tilly Norwood created by whatever AI tool they use to create Tilly, you know what I mean? Like, I think that would make more sense than trying to create this, you know, spectacle of an actor with AI. That's just nonsense.
I don't like it for where I think it's going to lead, CJ. And I'm with Sam. I think this is just they're dipping their toe in the water to see how much they can get away with. How much can we get away with before we have to stop paying actors to be the actors in the films?
Well, and I'm going to avoid the doomsday implications here and what getting used to looking at a CGI video could mean for things like the political landscape. We could go down really any number of rabbit holes on how that could quite literally lead.
A couple of stories we want to update you on. I had to take that phone call a moment ago. I'm good. I'm not that good. I can't do two things at once.
Okay.
Shawnee Police Department called us back.
Okay.
I said, you got to give us a name. I want to know who this loon is that keeps stealing from the Shawnee Antique Mall. She is in custody.
Yes.
They have confirmed. She is not yet charged.
Okay.
At the point that she is, which is not going to happen prior to the end of our show today. You know, they're working on the case to hand it to the prosecutor's office. Then we will have a name and an age, although I'm pretty sure she's in her 60s.
And I don't think Flower Thief really gets launched up.
It's
at the
probably
top of the
not at the
list.
Top of now.
If we're triaging cases to get to the prosecutor.
Sam, that being said, all the media picked up this story because it's so crazy. This woman's been caught on tape 3 times.
And the Shawnee Antique Mall would disagree. They would think that this is of the utmost importance.
A terribly sad update here. And we've got some audio to play for you from an interview that we did, 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. It's important to me that we update this story because I believe this is the first time we are seeing criminal charges against a coach for the death, the preventable death of an athlete. Sent this to Sam last night. I said, here we go. From the Associated Press, a former strength and conditioning coach at Bucknell University has been charged in the death of a football player who collapsed during training and then died. Calvin C.J. Dickey Jr. was a freshman training in July of 2024 at the university in Pennsylvania when Mark Kolbus told him and other football players to do 100 up downs. And I'm going to stop there because when we get to my interview with the journalist who's covered these deaths for us locally, some of these deaths involved something called up downs. And all of the deaths have happened during the very first practices of the year when it's 110 degrees outside.
And up downs are a very typical starting conditioning thing. I say starting not in the you're building up your conditioning, but when you first hit the football field for those early practices, they're just trying to see how hard you're willing to push. And they're incredibly difficult. Think like a burpee without the push-up.
Yep. He told CJ Dickey and all of the other football players to do 100 up downs along with full body plank drills. Dickey also happened to have a sickle cell trait, a medical condition that we know increases the risk of serious injury or death following extreme exertion. Some of the local cases involved athletes who happened to have sickle cell. Some of them didn't. Some of our local cases involved athletes that had just gotten here from different elevations, different temperatures. Some of them didn't. Dickey was recruited to play lineman positions at the university. He started struggling and passed out, according to the Attorney General's office. Kolbus was the only coach present at the time. Dickey was taken to the hospital and died 2 days later. An autopsy found that his death was caused by the exercises along with that sickle cell trait, body weight, and something called exertional rhabdomyolysis, a rare but life-threatening condition in which your muscles literally start breaking down from overexertion. I also want to mention here that in so many of our local cases where we have lost young athletes, they are linemen. They are almost exclusively the big guys.
Yeah,
the big guys in training who die.
It takes those individuals a longer time to acclimate to a new climate.
Kolbus had been told about Dickey's medical condition. He received training from the school on it. He is charged, and this is important, and I want you to talk to the coach in your life. This is the first time we've seen this, and once one domino falls, there's going to be a string of other dominoes that we're going to see fall here because these are wholly avoidable deaths. He is charged with felony aggravated hazing and misdemeanor counts of involuntary manslaughter, reckless endangerment, and hazing, according to the Attorney General's office. Bail is set at $10,000. The facts show, according to the prosecutor's office, this was an intentional, deliberate hazing perpetuated by a coach who knew CJ's health condition made him vulnerable to extreme workouts. The facts will show this defendant received information about CJ's health condition along with training about NCAA anti-hazing standards and disregarded the information. Now, Bucknell says active criminal matter. We can't talk about it, but we are cooperating with the Attorney General's office. When we get back, we're going to listen to some of my interview with the award-winning journalist who has covered so many of these athletes' deaths. They are almost all always, not exclusively, but almost always football players. And they are almost always linemen. And for some reason, in the middle of the country, right here, Kansas, Missouri, right here in the middle of the country, with junior colleges too, we're losing too many athletes in this way. Talk about that straight ahead on Dana and Parks. So I did not know this. The NCAA now requires new athletes be tested for sickle cell trait. Its website states that the trait becomes a threat in rare situations where athletes push the limits of their physical conditioning. That is what happened at, this is a major college, you guys, at Bucknell. The trainer who was with these young men knew about the sickle cell and had these boys on day one of practice.
Yeah.
Overexerting themselves.
And I think that's probably what in large part led to the charges was the knowledge
he knew
that was intentionally given to the trainer and to the coach about the condition of the player.
You have to ease them into the training regimen, is according to the NCAA. So KCUR Metro reporter Sam Zeff, my former boss, brilliant reporter, has extensively covered the deaths of several young football players here who all suffered fatal exertional heat strokes during preseason practice. Most of them, if memory serves, day one, the day they get here, they're outside. It's 110 degrees out.
They're wanting to impress the coaches.
They want to impress the coach.
For many of them, this is their only chance to get out of what situation they were in and, you know, start a new life in their college life.
This is part of our interview with Sam.
And just a couple of days ago, you know, when it was really muggy outside, yeah. And I start to think about, well, what football player somewhere in America
is packing his bags?
Right. And somewhere in America in August, some young football player at a junior high school, maybe a high school, is going to go to a sweltering practice, and that football player is going to be run to death. It happens every year. It happens multiple times a year. And I just sit back, especially now after 7 or 8 years of doing these stories. I'm kind of plugged into the exertional heat stroke community. It's pretty big. I mean, it takes in trainers, takes in parents, takes in coaches.
If the exertional heat stroke community is so vast, why do we keep having deaths here?
Well, because there are way more coaches than there are exertional heat stroke activists. And I think that there are places where it is not as regulated as much as Scott Anderson, a former head football trainer at the University of Oklahoma and a leading expert on this, says. There still is in the football world a warrior culture.
Yeah, you're going to run them. You're not going to give them water, which right. I think is criminal. We'll get to that. These stories are so devastating, Sam, as a mother, as a father, yep. You know this, because I've always had this vision in my mind that they are packing the high school buddy up. We've all had the senior boy in high school, and you're packing him up, and you are excited because they are going to play football. Their passion is football. They want to exert themselves because they want to impress the coach on the first day. And I always have this horrifying vision in my mind of the parents just bidding farewell to these kiddos, and then they get the call, and it's usually on the first day of practice or thereabouts. It's not 6 months in that this is happening.
No.
It is because of the lack of acclimation to the climate,
yep.
And in some cases, lack of water.
Water mostly doesn't play a role in this, but I'll tell you what it does. It is an indicator of the culture. If you're not going to let your football players drink water, you're going to do other dangerous things. And it is the warrior culture that we spoke about. I'll tell you something that when I did this very first story, and I'm doing research on this, and I know that the football players at Garden City had been denied water. And I'm doing some research, and I pull up a general order from the Marine Corps about physical activity, about physical training. And in the general order, it says recruits will be able to drink water any time they want.
That's the Marines.
That's the Marines. So if it's good enough for the United States Marine Corps, it certainly should be good for any junior college football player.
You know, one of the reasons I'm so passionate about this is because every one of these deaths is just so disgustingly preventable. And you can't keep saying in athletics, well, we didn't know. We didn't know that the kid who just came to Garden City or from Minnesota, we didn't know that he was going to collapse and die on day one. I don't think after so many of these deaths, you can say that any longer. And I do think that this case might help talk some sense into some of the coaches who think this is never going to happen here.
Well, and he mentioned the Marine policy regarding new recruits, and they can get water whenever they want. Now, I'm sure that there are people that could poke holes in that, saying, well, yeah, they can get water, but what's that going to do for how tough they look or their recruitment ability? when I was doing research last, not last weekend, but the weekend before, I don't remember, the first week it got really hot,
yeah.
And I was trying to put together a new story about how to acclimate to the heat. The U.S. Army guidelines say to not do heavy physical exertion in a new environment for the first 14 days.
Yeah.
It takes 14 days to acclimate. The first five, your body doesn't even know what it's supposed to be doing. It treats the heat as a literal existential threat. The next five, it starts to figure things out. And the following four, things kind of meet in the middle. And you get to a point where you can actually go out and do some up-downs on a football field.
I cannot imagine why they
think it's okay.
And I think what we need is education. We need training. We need everyone to understand that the ice bath is the only way to maybe help these young men in the moment that this happens on the field. It should never happen. The ice bath is the only way to save them in that moment. We had one of these idiots try to put a garden hose on the kid. My God.
And every college should have an ice bath on hand,
yeah.
ready to go if you're going to be doing this in the
absolutely.
Hot summer days.
Absolutely. We will follow that case. I will follow it with interest now that charges have been filed against that former coach. 913-586-7798. We're going to lighten things up when we get back. I promise you that. Here on Dana and Parks. Stick with us for the final hour.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.